Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to my podcast. I'm Heimo Scheuch, CEO from Wienerberger, and today I welcome Professor Knierbein from the TU Wien, and she's responsible for the Center of Urban Culture and Public Space. Very interesting topic, and I think one where we are in the middle of a lot of challenges these days. I just came back from the US and traveling through cities like Atlanta, New York, and to see them after the pandemic, you have a really different kind of city. And therefore, my question to you, is the decade of the cities coming to an end?
Yeah, thanks for the invitation, and thanks also for this intriguing question. It's so nice to think of a decade of cities while in research we're talking about the centenary of urbanization. I think if we just see that more and more people move to cities, on the one hand, we still are heading towards more urbanization, but at the same time, the lifestyles between what we consider as a city and the hinterland is sort of shifting also due to digitalization. Because it's possible now just to work from the countryside. But in that sense, we would consider the countryside as urbanized and would dissolve this sort of idea between the rural and the city.
That's a very interesting topic, especially in the Anglo-Saxon world, because you have obviously these areas next to the big cities, and especially actually when you look at North America, where people move further south, or even in the from the Rust Belt to certain cities like Nashville, Tennessee, that are outgrowing New York or others. So I think this is an aspect that you mentioned, that the cultural change is also taking place.
Yes, definitely. And so when we study urbanization, we study it, of course, as a form of settlement, yeah, and say as relating to the urban form, which has a lot of economic drivers and political economic drivers, but at the same time also trying to understand the changes in everyday life. Yeah, so what is urban everyday life about, and how has it been shifting throughout the last 30 years? And we try to get a grasp on both, let's say, ecological dimensions, but also socio-political dimensions, cultural dimensions, and economic dimensions, as well as very important political dimensions, and to what extent these new shifts and transitions really refer to the city as a democratic project still.
This is also a topic that is of high importance today. I mean, we are all confronted with these very sad events that we see further east in the Ukraine. But to see the city as a birthplace of democracy, and as you mentioned, with the political dimension, is also very important, I think, when you talk about urbanization and planning.
Definitely. And on the one hand, we are reminded, of course, of the Greek and the Italian city-states. But also, if you mentioned the war, and I guess it's also very important to notice that both Ukraine and Russia are very urbanized countries. Ukraine has an urbanization rate of 70%, and Russia even 75%. One would not assume that from first gaze. But also, I guess this war on cities is also, of course, an attack on the culture and civilization and the values actually of the polis, and the value of sort of the city as a democratic project. So I guess when I was talking to my students, I was also trying to explain them that we know this peace architecture in the world as a peace architecture of nation states, which is important. But before the nation states existed, actually city states existed, and the city is older. And so this reference, for example, to Kyiv as a European city stems from that time. And that's very, very often made now in the discourses, in the political discourses, to say Kyiv is a European city, because historically it pertains to our networks of trade of the Hanse. And it's very important to have that in mind also, I guess.
I think when you talk about democracy, city, a very important aspect is also the affordability, because we see in a lot of cities around the world that people have to move away from the cities to the outskirts, especially because it's getting too expensive. So I think a major subject is getting living space for people within cities and make it affordable.
Yes, that's for sure. On the one hand, it's very important affordability, but at the same time combined with accessibility. If it comes to housing, if it comes to the educational sector, if it comes to public spaces, because I guess what we see, especially from the States at the moment, is rather not just that people move out, but they don't find any place to settle. So they are unsettled in the sense that they live in vans. That has had an anterior tradition also, especially in the United States. But now what we see, I had a diploma student doing research on the Silicon Valley, and the workers of the Silicon Valley actually, that they really don't find, if they have to leave their flat because they cannot afford it anymore, they don't find any place to settle. So they have to live in vans, particularly. Mm-hmm. This is one facet of phenomena we are studying. And of course, especially in the Western world, where still poverty is not decreasing, we need to be very aware of the fact that, I mean, we have a responsibility also to still fight poverty at all levels. Mm. Yeah, child poverty, but also if you see now many people are sort of coming as refugees, also how we can bring them into the sort of very productive cities that we are running. And be part of that productivity.
So you would tend to agree that being a mayor of a major city is probably more important than being a prime minister, because as a former mayor of this wonderful city, Vienna, has said, I'm rather mayor of Vienna than prime minister, because I can decide more and I'm closer to the people and get decisions done.
Yeah, I guess both positions are super important. I had the chance to a couple of years ago to talk to the mayor of Athens, and he said that was interesting. You know, while the nation states are still discussing at the EU policy level how to deal with the refugees, it was back in 2016-17. Mm-hmm. Actually, the cities already, we're doing that since 20 years. We have the expertise. We know the people on the ground. We know the NGOs that help us, or the whole humanitarian aid agencies. We're doing that. That's our everyday business. So actually, I guess the network of cities is quite strong. And also, he said at that point that he received a lot of sort of support from other city mayors. So there's really a lot of solidarity among cities to support if a city is in crisis.
Another subject that is of great interest is water management. Mm-hmm. And we from industry see a substantial difference between cities, how they tackle this problem. I refer to Helsinki, Stockholm or Oslo, that are much more advanced than cities in other areas of Europe or the United States. So I think you, from your perspective, will confirm that there is a very different approach with respect to climate, water and public space within a city.
Definitely. And I guess the city of Vienna and other cities are currently learning a lot, also about water management. But what I stated in another interview is actually also the fact that water also is a social resource, and we really also need to theorize more. So we need to have more applied research into how to transform it into building practice. But also we need to have much more grounded research also, because our cities and also a lot of cities in the West will be very dependent on water, and we see that now during summer months. Just because the way how we treat our rainwater still in cities can be radically improved.
Definitely. We see this also, and I can only confirm that from our aspect, there's a lot of potential to renovate all infrastructure systems and to change, obviously, the overall management of water within the city. And I think also from a power perspective, energy matters these days, as we see also. And getting the right energy within the city and accessibility also to energy is going to be key as well.
Definitely, and of course, we see that there have been a lot of dependencies, but cities have very often also been able to innovate these sectors. And I recall there was once a meeting of the city of Vienna innovation strategy, and they had like three panels of experts invited. So each panel had 30 people from different sectors, and we were discussing how to innovate public spaces, but at the same time energy associations, companies that are affiliated with the city of Vienna. So I guess there are already highly innovative bodies of public administration, and maybe we should listen a bit more to them, because they think about how to include water and how to include new forms of energy all the time, since years, and give them a voice as well.
If I listen to you, Sabine, it's not going to be the end of this decade of the urbanization. As you correctly say, it's more a century, and this will continue, but probably in a different way. And I think a very passionate discussion about the birthplace of democracy, of the future, of the new city, for example, integration, diversity, all of these are challenges that we have to face. And I think cooperation between industry, you as planners and thinkers of the future, and the decision makers is required to create the new cities of the future. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for the invite and the talk.
Thank you for listening, and hope to see you soon.